Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Yeshayahu Perek Yudchet, Chapter 18. So we're still in the section of the Masa'ot, which are messages from the prophet, from Yeshayahu, about other nations. And we've talked about his Masa'ot towards Babel, Babylonia, Assyria, Moab, Aram, and today we're going to move on to another one. But in order to understand what's happening in today's particular message, we have to go back to the last few psukim of Perek Yud Zayin, which really begins Yeshayahu's message of Perek Yud Chet. Now, Perek Yud Zayin ends by describing the nations of the world raging against Bnei Israel, like the raging waves of the sea, but then foretells the turning of the tides, little pun there, against the enemies, and closes by saying, La'et erev v'hine balaha, b'terem boker enenu. So in the evening, there was terror, there was confusion. But then when morning came, there was nothing. They were gone. Zechilek shosenu v'gora levozazenu. So this will be the ultimate fate of the enemies. Now, as we have seen before, this leaves a lot of room to debate exactly who we're talking about. Yeshayahu, I think purposefully, really, leaves room for different interpretations. So this could be Assyria. And many of the commentaries go down this route, certainly the medieval commentaries, that it's, Assyria was made up of many countries because they continued to conquer, and they became a fierce geopolitical power. But then they experienced a sudden downfall, and perhaps this refers to their unexpected demise when they were on the brink of entering Jerusalem in 705 during the time period of King Chizkiyahu. Others, though, say that this entire prophecy is futuristic, and not to try to tie it to historical events of Yeshayahu's time period, but in the future, and let's say just to put it in modern terms, this will be the great end of anti-Semitism as we move towards a time of greater peace and perhaps to messianic times. Okay, now these two perspectives will help us as we move into analyzing Perek Yud Chet. Now, Perek Yud Chet begins with a prophecy directed to a nation that is called Me'ever L'Naharei Kush, beyond the rivers of Kush. Now, where exactly is Kush? Now, some like Ibn Ezra assume that Kush is also speaking about Assyria. Others, especially more modern commentaries, say that this prophecy is talking about Africa, which is in a location, let's say a location such as Sudan or Ethiopia, which are nourished by the Nile River, which would refer back to these Naharei Kush. And in Psukim Bet and Gimel, the Navi commands to send messengers on boats to reach Eretz Kush and to give them a very important message. And the message that they carry is one of hope, which makes sense in light of what we saw at the end of Perek Yud Zayin, the downfall of the enemy nations. And these are the words of the messengers in Pasuk Gimel. Kol yoshvei tevel v'shochnei aretz, kinsoa neis harim tiru utikoa shofar tishma'u. So they call all the people who live on the land, it's really a very broad term, kol yoshvei tevel v'shochnei aretz, like all the inhabitants of the land are called to notice when the neis, the flag, right, is raised on the mountains, they should take note of it. And when the shofar is blown, they should listen to it. So it's a command to listen for and note these signs. And these descriptions are very often used to describe acharit hayamim, the end of days, with the nace, the flag, and the shofar, which will herald the beginning of those times. And here the focus is that this message was sent out even to Eretz Kush, distant lands. Hashem then continues, and he describes himself in very anthropomorphic terms, and saying, Ko amar Adonai Elai, Eshkata, va'abita b'mechoni, kechom tzach eleor, ka'av tal, b'chom katsir. And Hashem said to me, I rest calm and confident in my place, in my machon, in my habitation, right? And how, what is it like when, so this, I think this first part of the pasuk gives a sense of peace, that Hashem is now resting in peace. And how does he describe that resting? Like a hot, scorching, and bright sun. And this description, which I think could be taken in a negative way. Actually, it's meant here in a positive way. That hot sun, it almost reminds me of like the sun, in middle of the day in Israel in the summer. And also it could perhaps be relating to Kush as an African place, like relating to that like very hot sun, the blazing sun. But there's a peacefulness during that sun. And it almost makes me think of like the European custom of, you know, pausing in the middle of the day, taking a siesta, so to speak, during the middle of the day when the sun is so hot. There's a period of rest. And then the pasuk ends by talking about the tal, like a cloud of dew that falls in the heat of the harvest time. And this dew, I think, has a balance. Like there's the hot sun, but then there's the refreshing aspect of the dew. And this quiet comes because the threat of the enemies is over. And that's what Yeshayahu describes in the next pasuk, pasuk hey. He raises a different mashal, the mashal of the harvest. And he says here, that lifnei katsir katam perach uboser gamol yienitza, and he says like before the time of the harvest, but after the flowering, and that's when like the flowers hardened into berries. So this is just, I actually was just recently looking at a friend's strawberries that she planted, and she was showing me how like they, you know, the strawberry flowers, and after the flower, then comes the fruit. And that's exactly what this is describing. Like the flowering part is done, and then the fruit is beginning to harden and moving towards ripening. So then what is the person who's taking care of that, you know, that garden do? Vikarat hazalzalim b'mazmerot v'etanetishot hesir hataz. So he comes and he will trim away, right, all those twigs that are getting in the way of the fruit, because they're not necessary. The ultimate goal is to get the fruit. And that is that mashal is used to describe what will happen to the oppressors. They will be, at that time, trimmed away, and all that will be left will be these beautiful fruit. And then the final pasuk of this perek, it's a short one, culminates in a beautiful pasuk of tribute to Hashem. And the pasuk describes, ba'et hahi, at that time, yuval shai la'Hashem tzvakot. There will be brought shai, a gift, to Hashem. Now, who will bring this gift? And then there's a very long description to describe this nation, presumably, again, talking about the nation from Kush. Am mimushach u'morat, u'me'am nora min huvahala, goy kav mivusa, asher bazu narim arzo. Very long description, very like... kind of esoteric, hard to understand exactly what these words mean, but presumably they're referring back to this nation. And this nation will come and bring a tribute to Hashem, and they will bring it El Makom Shem Hashem Tzvakot Har Tzion. They'll return to Har Tzion, and that, the mountain of Zion, and that's where they will bring this gift. Now, once again, there's a debate about whether Yeshayahu is prophesying about his own times or future times. And even if he was prophesying about his own time, this, we know that this wasn't fully fulfilled. This hasn't yet been experienced. So there's the idea really is that any prophecy for the good that wasn't fulfilled in its time will ultimately be extended into the future. The Malbim talks about that. So let's go along that line. So looking back, Yeshayahu describes a victory over Israel's oppressors. Following that victory, messengers that are sent to Eretz Kush with a message to note that there will be a shofar blow and other signs that will herald these brighter days. And ultimately, this nation from Kush will come and bring a gift to Hashem and Har Tzion. Okay, so let's come back to our original question. Who are these people from Kush that Yeshayahu is reaching out to? Perhaps this is an example of another nation, the nation of Kush, who after... Meaning, when I say another nation, I don't mean a different nation, meaning a nation that is not B'nai Israel, and here it's the nation of Kush, who after seeing the power of Hashem's hand, they'll come to Jerusalem to offer gift and thanks to Hashem and recognize Hashem's name. And this would fit in very beautifully with the universal picture that Yeshayahu has painted throughout his Sefer about the end of days as a place where all nations come together to serve Hashem. Right? And that definitely, if you want more on that, you know, refer to Yeshayahu Perek Bet. But there's another way to look at this. And I once heard this beautifully explained in a shiur by Rav Menashe Weiner. And he suggests that maybe these people are not from another nation. And some of the medieval commentaries go down this route also. But these are the scattered and dispersed people from Israel who are spread out to the four Arba Kanfot Ha'aretz, the four corners of the earth. And now they will be sent for their return. And Yeshayahu has also discussed this theme. For reference, you can check back to Yeshayahu Perek Yud Aleph. And this message, that second message, that this could have been directed towards people from Israel who were scattered, would certainly resonate during Yeshayahu's time period as well, where the 10 tribes were exiled by Assyria, and part of Assyria's technique was always this repopulation, where they would take people from one place and put them somewhere else. So that was how the northern kingdom, why we call them the 10 lost tribes. They weren't lost, they were scattered, and then when they were scattered, they became lost. But I think this also would resonate equally in our own day, where Jews are scattered all over the world. And yet, in our own times, we've seen an influx of Jews returning to Israel. And in light of this, perhaps even more specifically, this prophecy alludes to the amazing return of Ethiopian Jews to Israel in Operation Solomon. Are these Jews the Jews of Eretz Kush? And they can trace their scattering really back to biblical times, and it's a modern day kibbutz galuyot. And actually, just a little short thing, one of the descriptions of these people is that they're called a goy kav-kav, a nation of kav-kav. Nobody knows what that means. One of the parshanim, I believe it is maybe Metzudat David, says kav-kav is from the word tikva. It's a nation of hope. And maybe this is the nation that was hoping always to come back. And that was the Ethiopian Jews. They always kept their heritage and their roots in the hope that one day they could return to Jerusalem. And may we merit, not just merit, but maybe also work towards both the universal vision of Yeshayahu as well as the particular reunification of Am Yisrael. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.